What happens when the Lord saves someone? Same thing happens to all of His people. All of His people are saved the same way. Exact same way. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one hope of your calling. One. One way. It's through the preaching of the gospel. It's through the preaching of Christ and Him crucified. It's not seeing anything. It's hearing. Faith cometh by hearing. Couldn't get this off my mind after thinking about a mendicant reminding me of something that's about to take place today. I couldn't get this off my mind. In New Jersey today, the church where Brother Clay Curtis is the pastor, there's a couple that's going to be baptized, a man and his wife. And we've known them for years. Years we've stayed in their home. I preached to him before they started attending there with Clay. Other men preached. And we believe the Lord revealed Himself to this man and his wife. We love them dearly. Cyril and Lenore Reynolds is their name. Well, the Lord joined them to the church in where Clay is. The Lord brought Clay up there and started a church. So Cyril and Lenore came over there and just love and rejoice and just love it. So they're going to be baptized today. This man and his wife. Okay. They were in religion. They didn't know Christ. God sent a preacher, preacher after preacher after preacher. They heard Christ preach. The Lord joined them to this church, and there they are. And Cyril told me when I saw him recently, he said, "My whole life has brought me right here." In Kingsport, Tennessee today, this evening, there's a couple, a man and his wife, going to confess Christ in baptism, William and Regina. Now, they heard the gospel. They were in a Southern Baptist church in down below Kingsport. False religion. And that's false religion. That's what my dad came out of. That's what so many of you came out of. You know, free will religion. Accept Jesus, you know. Believe on Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Accept Jesus. Free will, you know. Exercise your God wants to. God loves you. Jesus died for you. Won't you accept Him as your personal Savior? That's not the gospel. Did you read any of that here? Did you hear Simon Peter say that to anybody? He didn't ask anybody to do anything. They were begging him. What do we do? We've heard Christ. Now that's my message. All right? God sent preachers down there to that little Southern Baptist. They heard that they were without a pastor. They didn't have a pastor. And God sent Marvin Stoniker down there. Was he the first or maybe the second? Tom Hardy. Tom Hardy. There's a faithful man. No less so than Simon Peter. All right? So Tom Hardy went down there to preach. You know who he preached. You know how he preached. You've heard him preach. He preached just what Simon Peter. And boy, it caused a rift. And then Marvin went down. Now, they had scheduled several of us because somebody said, "Well, we got some preachers we'll send down here." Not the kind of preachers they wanted to hear, you know. They all thought, "We're going to hear just what we've been hearing, free will, and accept Jesus and all. God loves you so much. And what a wonderful life we can all have together as good Christians." No, he sent preachers down there. All right, Marvin was one of the next, okay? And he preached, and after that, they told him, "Don't send any more preachers like you down here." Didn't they? "Don't send any back. We don't want any more of this." Two people. A man and his wife. William and Sabrina. See, we've got to get out of here. And they said, "Well, there's a young man up in Kingsport preaching this." They said, "We're going." And they came, didn't they? And they've been there ever since. Now, this was a few years ago, okay? And today, they said, "We've got to confess this Christ. We were both baptized in that false religion. That wasn't the Jesus Christ of Scripture. This is. This is the gospel. This is our people. This is our church. This is who we want to confess." And they're being baptized today. Just like 3,000 people. 4 are going to do it today. 3,000 did it back then. They'd heard of Jesus. Didn't Simon say that? You've heard of him. A man approved of God by miracles and signs and wonders. God did. You've seen him. You've heard of him. Everybody heard him, heard of him. They were impressed with him. Our Lord asked them, what do men think of me? They say, you're a prophet. You're a healer. You're a good man. You're a friend. You're a friend of people. And our Lord turned to who you say today. Simon Peter. All of them, to a man, all that knew him, believed him, all that he chose, all that he came to, all that he revealed himself to. They said, thou art the Christ. What does that mean? The propitiation, the bloody sacrifice, the mediator, the covenant head, the only one that God will accept. It's not will you accept Jesus, it's will God accept him? That's not the question. Will you accept Jesus? God doesn't ask anybody that. That's not in the Bible. If that's the one you accepted, if that's the one you heard years ago, if that's what happened to you, you accepted Jesus, you're yet in your sin. You're lost. You haven't heard the truth. These people heard the truth as it is in Jesus. Who is he? He's not just a man to accept or reject. He's the Lord seated on a throne, and you're the one that needs to be accepted or rejected. And it ain't up to you. It's up to him. He might. And all that Peter did say was call. Not on Jesus. The name of the Lord. Fear. These people were struck with fear. This one that we rejected, this one that we thought was ours to do with as we please, this one that, you know, we could take him or leave him, is the one that can take us or leave us.
Right.
And he doesn't have to hear us. I sure hope he will. Every one of them, to a man, to a woman, to a young person, thought, we didn't know this Jesus. We didn't know who he was. Now we do. Now we do. But what are we going to do? You see that? Look at verse. What happens when God saves a sinner? Well, the gospel's preached. And the gospel's a person. The gospel starts with a sovereign God. Look at verse 23. Him, Christ, that is, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. You cannot preach the truth if you don't preach a sovereign God. It starts with a sovereign God. The whole thing of salvation started with God's will, God's purpose, for whom He did foreknow, He did predestinate. And whom He did predestinate, He called by the gospel. And whom He called, He justified. Why? Because they believed that gospel. Because He gave them that faith. And whom He justified, He glorified. Sounds like it, He did it all, didn't He? He did. Salvation is of the Lord. The determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. God doesn't have a plan. That word's not in the Bible. God has a plan. You and I make plans, okay? We hope they are fulfilled. God has a purpose. God has a determinate counsel. God has a covenant that He made before the world began. God made a covenant with His Son and with the Holy Spirit before there was a human being, before there was an earth. Right? That's what this book said. All right, I'll show you that. 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Go over there. This is the verse of Scripture. This is the truth that tore old Donnie Bell's world up. Donnie Bell was a Pentecostal preacher. I mean a chandelier swinging, pew jump hopping, tongue talking preacher, Johnny Bell. But God sent him a preacher named Henry Mahan. Tore him up. Just tore his world up. Made him realize, I don't even know God. Made him reject every message he'd ever preached. Reject all his experiences. This is it. This is what God used right here. He'll tell you. 2 Timothy 1, verse 8 says, Timothy, Paul is writing, don't be ashamed. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. You see, brethren, we're preaching something the world doesn't preach. The world doesn't believe. Religion doesn't believe this. Religion doesn't preach this. Preachers, there's... I don't know of another preacher in Franklin County this morning that's standing up preaching what I'm preaching. I've been here 30 years. I've listened to them. Do you? Somebody tell me. He said, don't be ashamed of this. Read verse 8 now. Be a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. You see, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Not the preacher's ability to win souls. Not the preacher's eloquence or power to convince people and bring. It's God's power. It's God's prerogative. It's God's will. It's God's choice. Read on. God who hath saved us. Who saved who? God does the saving. Not you and God. Not God's done all he can do. Now it's up to you. No, God hath saved us. Read on. And called us. Brethren. I can't preach without getting excited. I'm sorry. If Donnie were here right now, he'd be real excited telling you this story. But this is my story. I wasn't calling on God. When I first heard his voice, when I first heard the preacher for the first time ever, he's my dad. It's just my dad. I told you my story. It's just my dad. It's just my dad. It's just my dad. One day, he called me. Thought I was the only one there. Talking to me. Salvation of the Lord. He saved us. He called us. Read on. Verse 9. With a holy calling. A heavenly calling. A high calling it's called. Not according to our works. Well, he's a good little boy. I think I'll save him. No, God doesn't save good little boys. He saves sinners. Well, sinners, no good, rotten, prodigal sinners, buddy, they're going to give him all the glory. Like Saul of Tarsus, he stood up. I hated God. I hated Christ. I hated the truth. Saul of Tarsus. He said, I love free will. I love my choice. I love my ability. I love my power. I hated all this talk about a sovereign Jesus Christ. I hated that. But God. Thank God he loved me. Thank God he chose me. Thank God he called me. Saul of Tarsus would tell you that. Thank God he called me. I wasn't calling on him. I hated this way. Now I love it. It's the way he saved me. Called me. Read on. Verse 9. According to his own purpose and grace. Oh, his own purpose and grace. God does all things on purpose. He wrote a book before the world began and put every single name in it. It's called the Lamb's Book of Life. Put every single name of every single person he chose and purposed to save before the world began. And brethren, he sealed that book and it's not going to be opened until the last day. And there's not one person coming out of it and not one person being put into it. But every single one he purposed to save before the world began. You say, I don't like that. Then you must not be in it. Man. Either that or I hope you'll like it after this message, don't you? Because that's the truth, is it not? He purposed. I don't like that. I do. Boy, do I ever. If he hadn't purposed to save me, I wouldn't come. I wouldn't be here. I might be dead. Man, I ain't preaching doctrine here. We're preaching the glory of God. The mercy of God. Was this how you were saved? Huh? This is how every person at Pentecost was saved. Every single one of them. This is how Saul was saved. Mary Magdalene. Thief on the cross. Ask the thief on the cross. Everybody saved just like the thief on the cross. Yes, they are. He rejected Christ. He rejected Christ. But God had chosen him. To do what? To see his son. To hear his voice. And he said, I'm going to hell right now if you don't remember me. if you don't have mercy on me. That blood you're shedding right now, let it be the propitiation for my sinful soul right now. Please, Lord, would you remember me? Lord said, I will. I have. I will. In fact, I purpose to save you for the world. Or it wouldn't happen. How about you? What happens when God, how God saves people, and what happens? They hear the gospel preached. Every one of these persons, people at Pentecost heard Christ high and lifted up. As he said, you men of brethren. Verse 33. Listen. Being by the right hand of God exalted, having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he's the one. He shed forth this which you hear. David's not in the heavens. But the Lord said unto my Lord, Christ, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ. David didn't say, won't you make Jesus Lord? Did he? I mean, Simon. He didn't say that, did he? Who did make him Lord? God did. He preached Christ high and lifted up. He preached a sovereign God on a throne that sent his Son down here to be a propitiation, a bloody sacrifice, a sin offering for his people. And Christ came and did that according to the eternal purpose, foreknowledge of God, the predetermined counsel of God. They took, and we rejected him too. The God who's rich in love and mercy and grace chose a people, some of these God-haters, some of these Christ-haters. And in time, he sends the gospel like Simon Peter was preaching to these people. None of these people deserved to hear this message. They killed the Christ. They rejected the Christ. They were saved and sure for heaven if they're already hell. There, but they were going to hell. But God. 3,000. Imagine that. And every one of them, to a man, heard of this Christ that had been crucified, that they hated and they rejected, not accepted, hated and rejected this true Christ. And God, and Peter went on to say, but God made his soul an offering for sin. But God put him through hell on Calvary's tree, a substitute for sinners. And God, his soul was made an offering for sin, and he buried him. Soul that sinneth must surely die. Christ was made sin. He died. But proof that God accepted what he had done, that he's not just a man, God raised him from the dead. Accepted the offering, accepted the sacrifice, accepted the atonement. Like the high priest who went into the Holy of Holies with bells and pomegranate, and the veil was clothes there, and he's within there making an offering, making a blood atonement on the mercy seat. Is God accepting this for us worthless Israelites? Is he? How do we know? How do we know God's not angry? How do we know he's not through with us? That high priest came out of that veil, a smile on his face. Accepted. Why? Blood. Mercy seat. When Christ was hanging on the tree, the veil of the temple is rent in two. The way into the Holy of Holies made clear. The blood of Jesus Christ. I'm not asking anybody to accept it. I'm just preaching. All right? Then Christ died, buried. The Scripture says, took the sins of his people with him and separated them from them as far as the east is from the west. And then God would not leave his soul in hell. This is what Simon prayed. Raised him from the grave, accepted. Set him at the right hand of the majesty on high, and there he sits, waiting till it's all over, till every single soul for whom he died, whom God chose, and the Holy Spirit sends, whom he sends the Holy Spirit to preach this gospel, this gospel, this gospel. They're all going to hear it, and they're all going to believe. What? God's on the throne? I need to be in hell. But Christ died. He's my only hope. What shall we do? Every one of us, what are we going to do? And here's what Simon Peter said. Look at verse 38. Repent. You know, they actually already had. What are we going to do? They're pricked in the heart. Repent. What does repent mean? It means turn. Every one of them religious. Turn from that. It's all wrong. Turn from that false profession you made. Turn from that experience you used to have. Turn from that. Turn from that sin, from the world. Turn from it. Turn. Repent means godly sorrow. I've rejected God. I've rejected Christ. I've rejected the truth. I thought I was somebody. I thought God needed me. I thought God was pleased. I was all wrong. I'm wrong. Everything about me is wrong. That's repentance. Everything about me is wrong. I don't know anything. I can't do anything. I don't have anything. I have no goodness. I have no righteousness. I have no nothing. I'm a nobody. I'm a nothing from nowhere. God says, that's repentance. That's repentance. No, the church is not a place where God needs you. It's a place where hell-deserving sinners come because they need Him. Repent, Peter said, and be baptized. Every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Go to God. Every one of you. What happened when people were saved? What happens when anyone's saved? Gospel's preached. Sovereign God, sovereign Son, man's guilt, risen, enthroned, sovereign Lord on a throne. And that person whom God chose hears that. They're convicted. Their heart is broken over sin. They call on the name of the Lord. They repent. And they confess Christ. They confess Christ in believers' baptism. Every one of them. Peter said, every one of you. Every one of you. Now, if you confess that other Jesus, you have not confessed Jesus Christ as Christ. Had a man write me the other day, and he was real troubled. He said, I came up in Presbyterian religion, and he said I was baptized as a child, infant baptism. That's all wrong. That's all wrong. Man made that up, didn't he? Our Lord's one that says, go into all the world and preach the gospel, and he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Right? Infants can't believe. It came here. Alright? So, this man wrote me and said, he said, but now I've heard the truth. He heard Dad, me, other men. And he said, I'm just wondering if I should be rebaptized. I wrote him back and I said, no, you won't be rebaptized because you've never been baptized. Baptism is for believers. And believe the truth. Believe the God of Scripture. This is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom He sent. The truth about God. Truth about us. Truth about Christ. He seemed so relieved. He said, well, I'll gladly do it then. Gladly. They gladly received it. Look at verse 41. Then they that gladly received His word were baptized. Gladly received it? Put it mildly. Gladly. All of them. They were baptized. You know, baptism is a funeral and a marriage. It's like a funeral and a marriage. It's the death of us and the union of us with Christ. A funeral. He's saying, I'm crucified with Christ. I deserve to die. Everything about me deserves to be just put away forever. Never be seen again. Oh, but I want to rise to walk in newness of life. I want to be with Christ now. It's a marriage. Like when you fall in love with somebody, you want the world to know it. And so you go before God and man and you make this profession of love for this person that you now love and you're one with, you're union with. You say, I want everybody to know it, that this is the person that I love and want to be with. And they love me and I love them. And that's baptism. This is the Christ. This is the one. Listen, Ruth. This is what Ruth said to Naomi. Remember what Ruth said to Naomi? What Ruth said to Naomi is what every believer says to Christ. Ruth was in a false religion with her sister-in-law. Naomi, who knew the truth, and you know she taught them both. And she said to Ruth, your sister's gone back to her people and her gods. Go back with your sister-in-law.
You can't do that.
She said, entreat me not to leave you. This is what every believer said. I don't want Christ, Lord, I don't want to leave you. I don't want to return from following after you. I heard you, boy. What have I to do with idols, Ephraim said. I've heard you. I will, he said, I'll go where you go. Where you lodge, I'll lodge, abide. Your people are my people. Your God's my God. That was my God before, but I found out He's not God at all. Naomi, you're God's God. And I believe that God. And your people are God's people. Your church is my church. Your people are my people. Please don't. I don't want to leave. He said, where you die, I'll die. Christ, I want to be crucified with you. Buried with you. Where you be buried, I'll be buried. The Lord do to me, and more also, if anything but death part me. And me. I want to be found in you when you come, Lord. Oh, entreat me not to leave. I'm not going anywhere. That's what happened to these people, it says in verse 42. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. I guarantee you, one of them said to Simon Peter, would you preach that exact same message you preached last week? Would you please? Simon said, I've got many more messages where that came from. In fact, I can turn anywhere in this Bible and it'd be the same. Well, fine then, preach it. Preach it. Steadfastly. We're not going anywhere. To whom shall we go? Now, going down here, they're not preaching that. The apostles' doctrine, teaching, fellowship. I can't, you know, sinners can only have fellowship with sinners. Right? I'm uncomfortable around law people. Aren't you? I'm uncomfortable around self-righteous people. Sinners. He said, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, the Lord's table. I'll never forget the first time I was able to take the Lord's table. You know, it's for baptized believers. I put the scriptures, as many as were baptized, gladly received the word, were baptized, then they start taking the Lord's table. You can't commune with somebody you don't know. And that's what it is, communion. Just a memory of Him. You can't remember somebody you don't know. You can't rejoice in sins forgiven if you're not a sinner. But I'll never forget when I always wanted to take part of that. I saw people taking part of it, and I knew that I didn't really believe yet. I didn't. Then when the Lord dealt with me, I believed. I was so glad, and I remember here we're going to take the Lord's table. Good, I get to do it. Wasn't a show. It's just fellowship. Isn't this wonderful? And there may have been people that have been doing it for years and grown a little bit lethargic to it, a little careless to it. Not me, buddy. I was so happy. Oh, I get to partake of this. Read on. It says, and breaking of bread and prayers. Prayers. I've never prayed before. Been praying ever since. Been praying ever since. Haven't you? Not like you want to, not like you ought to, but you have. There was a time I did not pray at all. But God. Read on in fear. Fear? You want me to tell you what the difference is between people where the gospel is being preached and people that believe the truth? One word. Let me give you a small one word. It'll tell you the difference between false religion and true religion. Fear. Fear. And all that I see around me and hear around me, what people are saying about God, what about Jesus, and about man, and what man must do, and how God loves hell-deserving sinners, tells me there's no fear of God for their life. They wouldn't tell people that hate God that God loves them if they feared Him. They wouldn't have His name on their bumper if they feared Him. No fear. No fear. Buddy, when God saves you, you fear. There is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. Wonders and signs. What about these wonders and signs? You've seen them. Haven't you? You've seen them. The blind see. The deaf hear. That's right there. There they are. Right there's one. Deaf. Deaf, dumb. One day, I hear. Singing praises. Oh yeah. And they continued, verse 46. They continued daily with one accord in the temple. They couldn't get enough of this. Well, you're here on Wednesday night. This is not the Lord's day. No, but I hear you're going to preach that gospel again. Yeah, well, good. I got to be there. Why? Christ is their life. Christ is their life. A new creature. With gladness, verse 46, singleness of heart, praising God, having favor with all the people. Favor. Oh my. My, my. Don't we appreciate and love one another? Is there one single person in this room that we can do without? Not me. God can. Not me. I don't want to do without any of you. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Who did it? Who did the saving? How did He do it? Did anybody do anything? Did Simon ask anybody anything? No, he didn't. He just preached Christ. And 3,000 souls. In a moment, the twinkling of an eye, were changed. Become Christ lovers. Christ worshipers. Huh? Is that how you were saved? Everybody in here knows that's how you were saved. No other way. Okay, Brother John, you come lead us.
All right, let's all stand and turn to number 449. 449.